Yes, it is Wednesday, April 6th, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Very good morning if you were just tuning in. These big Champions League quarterfinals, first leg, Liverpool have won 3-1 in Portugal against Benfica. So take a very commanding lead back to Anfield, and City have held on for a 1-0 win at home against Atletico Madrid in their first leg game this morning. Last night, the Central Coast Mariners had a substantial win in the A-League men, 5-0. They beat Wellington Phoenix. In the NRL, Kyle Flanagan's back, set to partner Matt Burton in the Haas for Canterbury against Penrith, Burton's old club, of course. Brandon Wakeham on the bench, Jake Averillo in the centres. So this will be the Bulldogs' third halves pairing in five rounds. For Manly, 19-year-old Tolatau Kula is at fullback for Tom Trbojevic after impressing in the centres last week. Tyson Frizzell's been named for the Knights despite a hamstring issue, but he's certainly going to be one player to keep an eye on whether he'll take the field. For Brisbane, Billy Walters is back in the halves with Adam Reynolds, with Albert Kelly out for weeks with that Liz Frank injury, the foot injury. Kurt Capel returns, a timely return for him, and that cushions the blow as well of losing Pat Carrigan for at least a month with a knee injury. Now, there's been a full-blown takeover, pup, in the central commentary position for the Big Sports Breakfast, because we've got Loz at home. We're here at Inglis.
Yeah, this is out of control. And what I'm seeing on this screen is out of control.
And Dean Bulldog Richie.
Look at him there.
It's a takeover. It's a hostile takeover.
Have a look at him sitting in the middle with his feet up on the table, just taking up every single one of our chairs. You don't need three chairs, Bulldog. And whose coffee mug's that as well?
Good morning, everybody. It's your mug, Clarkie, to be truthful.
You're unbelievable.
And I might add, too, that the biscuit jar out there was full this morning.
Yeah, Middo's not there. That's
to which I have had two, and there'll be one in the pocket for the trip home.
I've got to get a photo of this. This is out of control.
I'm being a professional, Clarkie. I've come into the studio, albeit on my own, just to make sure that the sound system is schmick for this segment.
Mate, can you see Loz as well?
I can.
Loz is at home with his feet up on the couch. Like, this is vacation camp for sure. What a job.
This is how we roll.
You two are unbelievable. No, you're right, Mirai. We'll drive out here and bunker down, pouring down rain. We'll just do our best. You two on vacation.
Clarkie, I'm happy to compare pay packets.
No, I'll keep mine, thanks.
Thank you. How are we, guys? Everything okay? Loz, you well?
I'm good, Bulldog. I'm very good, actually. I had a good weekend away, a couple of days off, recharged the batteries, and fresh and ready to go, my friend.
Good man. Good man.
Bulldog, what did you make of, you know, there's been obviously the big commentary about the ruck speed, and yesterday the commission met, no rules will change. Peter Volandi's insisting there'll be no overreaction like we saw in Magic Round last year, and they just want the rules enforced. But I'm sure a week ago we were here talking about how, you know, the competition seems closer at this stage, yet we had seven favourites win on the weekend and some blowout scores return, and all of a sudden we're worried about the wrestle coming back into the game and the ruck speed being slowed down. What have you made of all the commentary? Has it been an overreaction, or have there been, you know, or some of the criticisms been valid?
Oh, some of the criticism has potentially been valid, Middo. I think it's prudent, though, to point out that we're not changing the rules here. I interviewed Peter Volandi about this story, and Peter was very clear in saying, we just want them enforced. We're not introducing any new rules. We're not meddling in the rules, and we're not trying to change the game mid-season. Whatever changes they may make would be done after a review post-season. It's just that they think that the rules are there and that the referees are allowing the wrestle to creep back into our game, which is something we don't want. And they just want that to be fixed. And the NRL also believes that coaches are bringing it back. So, you know, who do you blame in this? Is it the NRL, or do you blame the coaches, or do you blame the referees? But Volandi's was very clear, Middo. He said, let me put every coach and every player on notice. You bring back the wrestle, your players will end up in the sin bin. So very forceful as always, Peter Volandi's, and certainly the coaches know exactly where they stand.
You wrote the story last week, the situation at Manly and Stephen Humphries. What can you tell us, Bulldog?
I can tell you that Manly continued to support Stephen Middo. They certainly haven't discarded him. They've been meeting with him. It's a very unfortunate situation. It's to do with Stephen's personal financial situation. It's quite a sad story that it's ended up that a CEO who was extremely well respected at Manly has had to resign. The club has now started their search internally and externally for a new CEO. I spoke to Scott Penn in the last two or three days. He repeated every day how sad he was that Stephen had to go. And coincidentally, and not related at all, Manly's CFO, a fellow called Paul Murray, has also resigned. He's heading back to his native island to see family. So Manly now on the lookout for a CEO and CFO. But Manly, as they often do, Middo, Laurie and Clarkey, we all know that they are incredibly resilient club. Mm. And with Des in charge, somehow they managed to extricate themselves from the front office to football results.
With that then, Bulldog, how much impact does Des or does a head coach in the NRL have with, again, you're talking about running the business versus coaching the sporting organisation, but does Des have any say? Has he got that much pull at the club in who will become CEO or CFO? Does he have any say there?
I wouldn't imagine it'd be a huge say. They've got a fairly high-powered board, Clarkey. Look, they may go to Des to seek some advice or, you know, his thoughts, because the CEO and head coach do have a close relationship. I'm sure they don't want to bring someone in who Des wouldn't want, but in the end, it'll be the Pens' decision. They are the majority stakeholders in the club. In the meantime, though, I know Des, I wouldn't say he's a control freak, but he likes to know exactly what's going on. He's meticulous in his detail. So at the moment, Des is probably doing a couple of jobs down at Manly, as well as head coach. So, if you want anyone in charge of your club in a time of need, I guess Des Hasler's the right man in terms of his attention to detail.
What about the Broncos chaos, buddy? Where's Payne Huss at after his, let's call it a disagreement with Albert Kelly? Have we heard any more there? Is there any going to be any more sanctions? And where's his football career at?
I checked in with the NRL last night, Clarkey. They've interviewed both players. The integrity unit spoke to Albert Kelly and Payne Haas on Monday. As I understand it, they are looking at sanctions. It could be a fine. It could be a suspension. The way I read it, Clarkey, is if all that happened is what we saw on that video, which wasn't on the higher end of atrocities in rugby league, to be fair, I think you'll find both will just be fined. The integrity unit is now just digging around to see whether anything else unfolded on the night. If they do find something else, then that could lead to a suspension. But at the moment, I think you'll find they'll both be fined, and that decision would be made later in the week.
Is there a suggestion, Bulldog, that something else happened?
Not that I know of, Loz. I guess they're just dotting their I's, they're crossing their T's, just to make sure that they don't, investigate too quickly and not get the entire story. Just on Payne Haas too, guys. Gee, there's a lot of rumours swirling around about him and his contract up there in Brisbane. He's under contract until 2024, so he's got a fair whack to go up there. But a lot of people I speak to say that, he is thinking about leaving. He does want to leave. Payne hasn't exactly come out and said that, but where there's smoke, there's generally fire in rugby league. And, what clubs could afford him? I don't know. It's still a couple of years away, and each club would have to manoeuvre their salary cap. But certainly,
well,
the Roosters. The Roosters are the one club that keeps popping up.
I love it how there's conversation about a player leaving a club. How long has he got left on his contract?
He's still got another 2.5, almost 3 years, Clarkey.
And we're talking about it now.
It's absurd, isn't it? It's just the
beast.
Just
another example what an absolute joke contracts are.
It is just the beast of rugby league, isn't it? We keep talking about players that are 2-3 years from finishing.
Out of control.
What do you think of Kyle Flanagan, Laurie? I'd love to get your thoughts. The Bulldogs have copped a bit of a whack for bringing him in as their saviour, so to speak, without having a minute of play this season alongside Matt Burton. But maybe I'm in the minority here, Loz. I'm sure Kyle Flanagan would like to have played with Matt Burton this year, but he'd certainly rather be playing NRL without having played with Burton than hanging around in New South Wales Cup.
Well, it's an opportunity for him, Bulldog. He's been crying out for an opportunity. He believes he's a first-grade player, and now he gets a chance, albeit against Penrith, and Bulldogs are playing great football at the moment, but he gets a chance to partner up with an elite player in Matt Burton. I said earlier in the program, he's just got to do three things well. He's got to direct the team around. He's got to give them that direction and free Burton up to run. He's got to provide a kicking option for the Bulldogs, take a bit of pressure off Burton in that regard, and defend well. And I think if he does that, he's done his job. And the other thing about Kyle Flanagan at this moment in time, while he hasn't had a lot of game time in first grade, he's got his confidence levels up by playing well in the New South Wales Cup. So he comes in as confident as he's ever going to be. And for me, that is a good sign. And we'll get an opportunity to see how he performs. I mean, they can't go any worse than what they did last weekend against the Melbourne Storm when they were smashed, in particular, in the second half. So Kyle Flanagan has been waiting for this opportunity. If he's prepared well, he'll go out there and do his job well. That's all he needs to do. And if he keeps it simple, who knows what'll happen? And who knows what he's able to achieve? And, you know, he puts himself out there in front of other clubs that may be looking for halfbacks. They look at him playing this game against Penrith and go, you know what, we'll take a risk with Kyle. We think he's a first grader. He's not getting the opportunities here at the Bulldogs. Or he convinces the Bulldogs that he's worth persevering with.
If you're a Bulldogs fan, Loz, and you've had Jake Averillo, Brandon Wakeham, and now Kyle Flanagan in your halves inside the first five rounds, would you think that that's a sign of some form of early season panic?
No, I wouldn't say it's early season panic. I think what it is, it's a sign that they're not happy with what the Sevens are doing at the moment, and they're not complimenting Matt Burton's game. And I think that, obviously, Averillo's a good player. They want to try and fit him into the program somewhere or into the side somewhere, and they thought that the best opening for him was to play at seven. That didn't work out. Then they gave Wakeham an opportunity. That hasn't worked out. And then they've reverted back to Kyle Flanagan, who's a genuine number seven, but he's had his issues over the last couple of years. And defensively, it's been a problem for Kyle because he hasn't been big enough and strong enough to be able to cope with that workload. So I think that the Bulldogs have gone about it the right way. And if they've given feedback to Kyle on what he needs to do to improve, he's gone back, played in New South Wales Cup. He's waited for his opportunity. And they've probably told him that he'd get an opportunity at some stage. And now we see his mental capabilities because we see him come into this side now and see what he's got on display and see what he can do for this footy team. And again, you get back to doing the little things well as a number seven. And the Bulldogs would want him to give the team direction, take some pressure off Matt Burton. That'll be his number one role. Free Burton up to have his running game in order. Free Burton up to take a bit of responsibility away from his kicking game and take a bit of pressure off him in that regard. And make sure your defence is very solid. Get in the line, put your body in front of any opponent that runs the ball.
I think it's unfair, Loz, those being critical of Matt Burton. He's only been there for, what, four games. But, you know, has his form been up to the standard that we would have expected?
Oh, look, it's difficult because he's not playing with those other great players. At Panthers, you know, he had Luai and he had Kickow and he had Nathan Cleary. You know, they were creating and he was a running centre. Plus he had, you know, other people that defences had to worry about other than Matt Burton. At the Bulldogs, he's the number one playmaker. He's the number one person that you need to stop in that Bulldogs outfit. It's got the strike that's probably going to worry you. You know, if you do a job on their forwards, you look at the other players in their team and you go, well, if we can stop Burton, we're going to stop a lot of their attack. And they focus in and around that. So it's difficult for him playing in a team that haven't had many options and opportunities to showcase their skills. And I wouldn't say Matt Burton is a player that hasn't got any ability at all. I think he's just playing in a team at the moment that lacks a bit of confidence, lacks a bit of strike, and he hasn't got a lot of other players doing things that he had Penrith do for him last year.
We'll take a quick break. If you've got a question for Bulldog, give us a call, 1353 53.
NRL on the BSB, brought to you by KO. Footy is back. and you can watch the team you love every game of every round live and ad break free in play on KO Sports. New to KO? Start your free trial today.
Bulldog Tom Trbojevic, now 4 weeks, Manly is saying. Is that on the optimistic side?
I spoke to Turbo on his way to hospital, Mido, and he was told at that point a minimum of 4. Mm. So the operation apparently was a success. He was released from Prince of Wales out there at Randwick yesterday morning. So he's at home recovering right now. So, look, you know, it'll depend on his recovery. It all happened very quickly. The incident happened in the game up there at Mudgee in the first 10 minutes. He got through the game. He felt okay. He turned up to training the next morning, you know, a little bit sore, but nothing over the top. And the doctor rang him and said, look, just go for a scan. And they found the problem in his knee. I think there's a ligament which is attached to the tibia. I've probably got that totally wrong, but that had come away. So he underwent surgery. It wasn't major surgery, but look, you can't help but think, though, Mido, if it's recovering at its usual speed, 4 weeks would be enough. But if there's any chance of it being a little bit of a delay, I'm sure Manly wouldn't risk Tommy Turbo for the sake of an extra week, given it's a long season and we know clearly how important he is to Manly's chances.
Got Rod on the line. Morning, Rod.
You know, Clarky, Bulldog, and the Walking Death.
Morning, buddy.
Laurie Daly. Mate, you look terrible on Sunday night, Laurie. You must have had a big weekend.
You're going to hurt his feelings, Rod.
Did you look that bad, Loz?
Apparently, I did.
Was it just the camera angle, though, or what? Were you a bit
dusty? Might have been the camera angle, I thought.
He had more bags than your grandmother, put it to you that way. Anyway, just on this Kyle Flanagan situation, Bulldog. You got me?
I got you, Rod.
Is there any truth to this Shane Flanagan going to Leeds next year?
Sorry, Rod, it was a bit of a bad line. Did you say going to Leeds next year?
Yeah.
There's certainly been suggestions about Super League.
Well, if he does, Shane Flanagan, and he wants to take his son with him, Kyle's got to play. Don't think he's got to play 12 games or something to make sure he gets his visa? If that's the case, ditto. That's why he's been picked in first grade. He gets Canterbury in relation from his final year of his contract. Done.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that would be the reason that Trent would pick him, Rod, but we've all got our own opinions. I know he was linked to Super League, but Kyle doesn't want to go. He's happy in Australia. He wants to play in the NRL. And as far as I know, there's no way Kyle Flanagan wants to go to England. Look, a lot of players don't want to go, and in the end, they have to go to keep their career moving. But at this point, I don't think it's on his radar.
Thanks, Rod. Morning, Dave.
Morning, boys. How are we?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Good, thanks.
What do you want to talk about?
I just want to talk about leg pulling. The last couple of years, I've noticed the referees penalising players for pulling players' legs. Now, in the last 4 games, I've noticed Penrith have been just getting hold of their players' opposition's legs and pulling them towards their defending line. Now, are they allowed to do that these days, or is it just a thing the referees are just letting go now?
Every year, Loz, you'll probably agree with me, there seems to be some new little tactic that creeps in and it comes in, and by the time the NRL catch up, it's gone and something else is there. They're forever playing catch up with the coaches, Dave, in terms of tactics. But look, the one I hate, to be truthful, Dave, and Loz, you might agree, is that hip drop where the third man comes into the legs, jars in there, and then drops. Every time I see that, Laurie, I wince.
Yeah, and again, Bulldog, you don't like that. You don't like the cannonball tackle, but you've got two guys wrestling with a guy up top. So you've got legs there that you need to be able to take down to complete a tackle. So instead of doing the hip drop, instead of doing the cannonball, what they do now is they come in and use one leg. They pull one leg off the ground to stop his momentum.
Which is probably what Dave's referring to.
That's exactly right. And then you'll be able to dominate him in the strength department upstairs, and then you're able to force him to where you want him to play the ball, so you can force him on his back, you can force him to have his head pointing towards his own try line. So it's that's been in for probably the last 12 months, 18 months. But whatever you have these rules that you look at and then make changes to, there's always ways that coaches will come up with different variety of things to compliment what the changes have been made. And they just do it so well. And they've always one step ahead of the rule makers. And that's their job, I suppose, is to find loopholes and ways around things. And that's just another aspect of the game that we'll probably see a lot more of, is that leg pull. Because when you've got one leg on the ground, one leg up in the air, as a ball runner, you've got no power. You're in control. You aren't in control. The person in control is the people that are making the tackle, and they can put your body where they need to put it.
Just on the text line, hey, boys, thanks for the call, Dave. Hey, boys, can you ask Bulldog how Peter Gentle still has a job as defence coach at the Dragons? Absolute joke. He was signed from a wooden spoon winning Broncos. Our defence has only got worse. And that's from Chapo. The Dragons, the last couple of weeks have been very poor. While we've been focusing on other clubs, I think it's not going to be long before they're put under the spotlight if this continues, Bulldog.
Yeah, most certainly, Mido. This happened last year. A fairly exciting start went sour very quickly. Look, I'm not going to pick out Peter Gentle. That's not really fair to target one bloke. I mean, defence is, you know, again, Laurie will tell you, is down to structure and commitment and dedication and putting your body on the line, and Peter Gentle's not out there for that. Yes, their defence has been poor, and yes, I can understand why questions are being asked of Peter Gentle, but you know, I personally am not going to sit here and take pot shots at the defensive coach when I think the players in the field have to stick their hand up just as much as anybody.
Mate, thank you so much as always. I don't know if we're going to get back in our chairs there.
No, he's, Bulldog's not going. Don't worry about that.
He looks very comfortable.
He's hanging there all day. Look at him.
I'm just going to go back to the
hard life.
Overflowing biscuit jar now on the way out.
Good on you, Bulldog. Thanks so much.